You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, hey, welcome to HR Bandit and our final episode of the year. I have a feeling I'll probably say this every single year, but where has 2022 gone? Just like 2020 and 2021, 22 has been a hell of a ride. So much so that I can guarantee Netflix is currently filming its Death to 2022 mockumentary as we speak. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into a quick recap of the year gone by. Feb 2nd, Pentagon announces that Biden approved the deployment of 3,000 troops to Poland, Germany, and Romania. The deployments are a show of support to NATO allies feeling threatened by Russia's military moves near Ukraine and the threat of an invasion. Feb 24th, Russia launches an invasion of Ukraine. March 24th, North Korea fires its first intercontinental ballistic missile in more than 4 years as Western leaders gather in Brussels for a security summit. July 23rd, the World Health Organization declares monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. September 5th, Liz Truss is named UK's new Prime Minister. September 8th, Buckingham Palace announces Queen Elizabeth II, the longest reigning British monarch, has died at the age of 96. Her oldest son, Charles, becomes King Charles III. September 15th, protests erupt across Iran following the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who died in the hospital 3 days after being apprehended in Tehran by the morality police. October 4th, North Korea fires a ballistic missile without warning over Japan for the first time in 5 years. Thankfully, it landed in the ocean. October 20th, Truss announces her intention to resign just 6 weeks into her term. October 28th, Elon Musk completes his acquisition of Twitter. November 6th is the beginning of COP27, which sees world leaders gather again for what has been referred as the summit where hope goes to die. November 15th, world population hit 8 billion. And on 20th November, the 2022 FIFA World Cup kicks off in Qatar amidst endless controversy. Now, I've left out a lot of what has happened in 2022. This is probably just 50% because I do really want to get to the rest of the episode. So here's what we are going to do today. We are going to play it a little differently. Today's guest and I are going to go over the trend line of 2022 to pick up two things each that stand out for us and its unintended or intended impact on the world of work. With that, let me introduce you to the best part of the day. Our guest for the day is, of course, the best part of the show. Bandits, I'm so glad to be joined by SV Nathan. Nathan is the partner and chief talent officer of Deloitte India. He is a member of the India leadership team and serves on the talent executive leadership of the Asia Pacific region. He has over 30 years of experience in HR management across diverse industries, including manufacturing, services, telecom, and information technology. He is an industry leader, mentor, and an advocate of ethical leadership and developing future leaders through coaching. He has been acknowledged as one of the top voices of LinkedIn 2020. He is also the national president of NHRDN, the network that sponsors this very pod, and has just released his book, The Heart of Work, where he takes us through the length and breadth of his long career that defines work, success, and happiness. Nathan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Ankita, what a pleasure to be with you and all our listeners today. Thank you very much for getting me on this wonderful morning. So thank you very much. Life is beautiful.
I am so glad. And for a change, this is actually our first episode we are recording in India. I've never done this before and I'm so terrified of pots and pans clanging or just unexpected sounds in the background. But it's a first of many. Now today's show can get a little serious. So I'm going to start on a lighter note. I'm going to ask you, what is one thing that happened in 2022 that made you chuckle?
I can talk about something that happened absolutely recently. I'd written a book which got published by HarperCollins. And these publishers sent across a small box across to me. And I was opening that box and I was using scissors and a cutter. And I didn't notice that my wife was filming the whole thing. It didn't take very long. But then I saw the first time in my life that I had written a book, and that book was there. And I saw her and I showed that book to her. And that's it. I forgot all about it. Till later that evening, she played it back to me. And she circulated among her friends. And then, of course, I put it on LinkedIn much later. She says, "You were like a child." I didn't believe her. So when I went back again and I saw that whole thing, it was almost like a four-year-old or a three-year-old just opening up something. And there was light in my eyes and I was holding up something. That moment brought a big, big chuckle. So every time I look at that video, I said, "Christ, man, I should never have done this. Or my wife should not have filmed me." Yes.
Why? It's one of the most amazing things to have your first book. Is this your first one?
Well, technically, it's my second. The first one was co-authored, but this is my first, let's say, where I did this on my own. Yes.
Amazing. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I read that there were pre-orders and it was already on the top list of books that were sold on Amazon. So congratulations. And I'm really, really excited. So I was looking back at 2022 and I was like, what is the one thing that really made me chuckle? And it has to be the lettuce. Now, Bandits, as per usual, everything we talk about, will be linked in the show notes below. But when the Daily Star began a live stream of an iceberg lettuce complete with googly eyes and a blonde wig next to a framed photo of Liz Truss, the competition was to see who would last longer. Now, it was a joke, right? Like, you would never have imagined that in 6 weeks' time, Liz Truss would have announced her resignation. And lo and behold, the lettuce won. It was a little wilted. It wasn't in perfect condition, but it did last longer than Liz Truss in office. And, well, that made me chuckle.
It made a lot of people chuckle, I'm sure, around the world.
It is unheard of. I've never seen that before. But with that, I'm going to bring us into our first topic. A quick recap. We're picking events or trend lines in 2022. Nathan, give us your first pick.
I think my first pick would be about stronger people. I mean, in every one of what you read about when the year started, and right up until a few minutes ago, you talked about what are the various things that have happened. I'm just thinking that we have in the world a much stronger people than before. Our resilience has increased. Post the COVID, whether it is to do with relationship, whether it is to do with people reaching out, whether it is to do with the empathy level, by the way, whether it is to do even with mental stress and our awareness of the whole thing, I think the world is getting to be far more aware on the personal side of what happens and on the people's side. After all, living beings is what we encounter every day. It's not inanimate objects with which I work. With you work, anybody works. And I think we are becoming far more stronger. We are also appreciating that anything that happens in one end of the world can also affect the other part of the world. You talked about the Ukraine war. You talked about what it means for a missile to be fired over Japan. You look at the consciousness that is getting built. And then people are all coming together and saying, I think this is right, this is wrong. And there are people who are willing to live with differences. I may have a view, but I'm okay to live with. And I think that makes people acceptable. They become a lot more stronger within. I also see that all the stuff around bravado has now slowly receded. And the world is getting to be better. I see at least it's become a lot more prevalent than before. The whole thing around, can we be more environmentally conscious? And I see purpose getting into people's lives. And I'm not talking about just a person, industries, organizations. They are going to be led by purpose. And if I don't have the environment, if I don't have society at large, and if I don't feel that there is a governance in place, then I don't think we have progress at all. I see that as a very, very significant part of what is happening world over, young, old. Everybody's recognizing that this is important to us. And last but not the least is agility. People are making course corrections pretty fast. Take even this whole, this chuckle about the lettuce. Yeah. So there was somebody who lost, and that somebody took it very gracefully, and everybody pilloried him because he did this, he did that. And then he comes back, and he's, so people are willing to make those course corrections. The acceptance of such changes has gone in much better. And well, it happens right across. You look at what happened. We said China plus one. China plus one is, it was the manufacturing hub for the world. And then suddenly there were some policy decisions in one part of the world. It started affecting others. What does it mean for other countries? What does it mean for Vietnam? What does it mean for Cambodia? What does it mean for India? What does it mean for the Asian countries? It means there are opportunities. What does it mean for Bangladesh? And you could go on. And by the way, what does it mean for the African countries? So suddenly there's a whole plethora of opportunities congregating, and people are also understanding the dynamics and the speed with which the world is moving to A, accepting, and two, working on it, which is acting. So I think agility is another one that I see all around. For instance, if you look at what the drone industry has done, you started with defense, right? You look at what's happened in Ukraine. You started with defense. Now, this defense was a big, big thing, and all the defense companies were slowly starting to crank up. Another industry by the side taking over was, how can I use drones elsewhere? And then innovation is another very big one. When I talk about agility, I'm also talking about how people are more creative, people are more innovative. I see a lot of goodness in the year gone by, and I'm sure that I'll see it in the coming future as well. So back to you, Ankita.
I love that. There's so much to pick in what you've said. You're right. Like, there has been so much that has happened in the last 3 years. A lot of people are like, just throw at us. Like, what is the next thing you can throw at us? If we've lived through these 3 years, we probably can live through anything. So you're right. Like, there is massive agility. You're right in saying that industries which have historically not got the level of investment, or which have been getting reduced investment, have now picked up back again. Because who would have thought that we are entering an era of increased political unrest, and where, you know, you would need to ramp up and think differently. And I think a lot of what you said, and I love that you brought both of your topics in such good sync and gave it to us all at once. I am going to tie your drone story and just defense investment into my first pick, because I think they have a lot of synergies. So when I was going around asking people what events from 2022 stand out for you, for almost every single person, the Russia-Ukraine war was like right on top of mind, because even for countries where, actually, I don't think it has, there has been a country that's not felt any impact, right? From, you know, decreased exports, Africa's going through a grain shortage, and then obviously the Asian countries had their whole dialogue with Europe where they were talking about, you know, do we or do we not put some kind of moratorium on Russia. But one of my biggest fears is that the world is closing in on itself. Now, I know a lot of you will think I'm crazy, but let me explain. You know, political unrest is on the rise. Everyone talked about the Russia-Ukraine war. What a lot of people left out is the missiles fired by North Korea, the threats made by China when US leaders visit Taiwan. There's political unrest within the US and the UK, and even within the EU, where not everyone's seeing eye to eye on, you know, how to deal with the energy crisis.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Now, everything that happens in the economy that we work in impacts businesses, impacts how HR should think about designing the organizations or future-proofing the organization. And the question we're now asking is, like, how do we shell-proof to be able to withstand what's coming? It's no longer something to say, COVID happened, we reacted to it. The Russia-Ukraine war happened, we've reacted to it. So I feel like we're becoming like ostriches because it's a lot to take in, but we're still trying to balance. Nathan, do you have a recommendation or an idea on how organizations can future-proof themselves, how HR can help make that happen, and then how people as themselves can, you know, continue to be able to take all of this in and still not break down, because mental health is becoming something that we're now looking at very carefully and saying, look, there's probably a limit to how much a human being can take, but I don't know, maybe like we're being tested again and again, so maybe there is no limit.
I have a completely contrarian and a different optimistic view about what you just said. So Ankita, it's like the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to look at all the positives that is happening. All the simmering of protestations that occur in one part of the world, if they don't manifest itself, either in terms of a confrontation or even asking ourselves whether this is the right thing or what, that is a problem waiting to explode. On the contrary, when people express themselves either through, okay, I'm getting so tired, I'm going to do this, and they do something rather stupid, and how it has really affected. For instance, many of us are possibly aware that people who are exporters of grain to the world cannot export it because the price of oil just has gone through the roof. Inflation in certain countries has become so hard that it is difficult for them to start to import. I mean, it's just like a runaway inflation. But are they keeping quiet? There are slowly few things coming in place. There are monetary measures that are coming in. Nicest thing is other countries are bailing them out. Oh, you didn't have to go too far. When that COVID happened, as much as you were dealing in your own country what your problems were, there were countries which said, okay, I'm going to help the others. Because if I help the others, in some way, I help myself. Because then I don't have, I mean, we are solving a collective world problem together.
100%.
You asked me this question, what is this big thing which is going to future-proof us?
Mm-hmm.
My personal take is the world of the future is in learning. And in learning is the world of the future. Because at one, learning is the world of the future is about creating a certain awareness within us and finding some way to deal with all the issues that we are confronted with. Which is, it starts with awareness at one end, and then for us to take it through to solve that problem in that moment and also create systems that we don't have the same problems in many years to come. If you look at learning per se in organizations and for individuals, there is clearly a certain trend that has emerged. In the past, the world was, to use your expression, like an ostrich. We were buried in this notion that you needed to have a university degree to say that you have arrived and now you're ready for the world. Those notions have given way to skills. Skills is the way to go. I'm not saying you don't need a university degree, but the ones that get you ahead are the skills. Now, there can be life skills at one end, which is the very basic. But the ones which is for the future is, how do I increase my skill? Because the only thing that you have, the only currency that you'll have in the future is the currency of learning. So what is it that you have in your repertoire of skills, knowledge that can get you ahead? So the future really lies in that. If you look at organizations which has sustained itself over 150 years, 200, 300 years, they have always reinvented themselves. And it's always true. And the way they reinvent themselves is, again, only through learning. It is not of anything else. And they've invested so much. I think if it happens at three levels, if the society starts to learn for itself,
mm-hmm.
two, organizations start to learn for itself, and three, at an individual level, if I learn for myself as to how I can future-proof myself, I think you would have an ecosystem that is resilient and ready for the future.
I love it. Like a constantly learning ecosystem based on, like, nothing can take us down. What are like 2-3 ways that you keep learning? Like, what are your tools and tricks?
So I'm a big sucker for listening to younger people. I love listening to, let's say, things like podcasts when I'm walking and so on, because you learn a lot that way. You really learn a lot. So HR Bandit, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I don't want to flatter you to your face, but the fact that you're able to get a lot of these things into, that's one kind of learning. The other kind of learning is, so there are three ways of learning, and I'll put this in three buckets. One is through experience. You learn through experience, which means you do, you fail, and then you wake up, get up, and then you move on. So you've learned something. So one is through experience. The second one is through exposure. Exposure means doing new things, going to new places. New experiences is all about exposure. Also, I've been working here, so let me listen to somebody. So that is all about exposure. And the last one is education. Education is, okay, I learn a new thing more formally. That's all about education. The one that in all the three E's that I really love is the one where I listen to young people. And so I've been living on the planet a little longer than you, Ankita, for sure. So what I do is I call a few people and then listen to their world and how they are dealing with that. So I believe in reverse mentoring. Mm-hmm. Which means if I don't know a subject, for example, I don't know what is cloud. And I always thought that the clouds were what brings rain, right? And so if I could sit somebody down, or if I want to know, okay, so what is blockchain and how is it going to affect the world? What is crypto and what's happening around crypto? How do you really mine these things? And what is the value and why is crypto falling and why is crypto rising? Why did it rise? Why is the market rising in India when in the rest of the world, people are really having a time of their lives trying to survive? So what is really happening? So while you may read about it, when you listen to people, you're able to assimilate it much faster. So new subjects, esoteric subjects, subject that I have no clue about and I don't think I can understand, I would rather bring in people who are much younger, who are experts in the field, and they would teach that to me. And I would learn from them as a child would. So those are the ways that I do a little bit of my reading. And of course, I love books, but this is much greater fun.
I love that, like three E's. I've made a note of that. I'm definitely going to find mechanisms to incorporate them in my life. But you hit a nerve when you said crypto. I think anyone who's invested in crypto right now is probably shedding buckets, which is also my second pick of the trend line, because I'm calling it, where did the crypto and metaverse go? Because at the start of the year, like the two biggest bets that everyone was talking about, well, there were quite a few, but like the two big ones which stood out for me was crypto, which is why I put some of my money in there, and then the metaverse. The metaverse, of course, I said, like on this very pod when we were doing the predictions 2022 episode, we said metaverse was not going to be a thing. And look what happened. Now, I know when the ocean rises, all ships sink. But I was hoping against hope that some bets continue to be betted upon. Now, Nathan, yes, I am a Debbie Downer. I have a tendency to look on the bluer side of things. But it's getting harder for me to look into 2023 and predict like what are the next big bets that we're going to be putting our money on. So if you had to look at it, what would your big bets be for 2023?
So okay, Ankita, I'll make it really light on you. 2024 is going to be a fantastic year.
Thank you. I needed to hear that today.
2024 is good. So 23 is going to be what I call as the hangover year. So we're going to be nursing our headaches. And yes, we're going to get to terms with what we did and what we did not. But the fun is going to be in learning about it so that 24 is going to be a great one. Now, I'm a diehard optimist, Ankita. I believe every day is a fantastic day. I know we all have our challenges. And where do you think 23 is going to be? 23 is where I think the world is going to be investing in some of the right areas. For instance, there's always been a lot of talk about can certain parts of the globe do what, let's say, Tesla did to the US? I think that's an important subject. People are seeing what oil can do to the world, and therefore, what can we do about it? Now, this is going to take a lot of time. In another part of the world, we are talking about conquering hunger. That's still a very, very important subject. In another part of the world, you're talking not about just rights. You're talking about rights of women. In another part of the world, you're talking about how do we bring women back to work with grace, with respect, and get them into mainstream, because that is the talent waiting to be discovered. The world, I think this is, and by the way, when I say 23, now this is going to be a long 23, it will stretch into possibly right up till the 30s. But I think these are the ones, if we sow the seeds, and people have already started, some of them are saplings, I mean, some people have not started, have to start right now. Several things are changing. Policies are changing and organizations are changing in the countries at large. I think 23 is going to be the year of temperance and resurrection, where I'm hoping along with temperance, we have a lot more tolerance. One of the things that I struggle with in my head is, can we be a more tolerant society?
Oh, 100%.
And temperance in all that we do, can we make it a tad, as long as it does not breach somebody else's boundary, can I be more temperate? I think that's going to be important. And of course, as I always believe, if I don't prepare for tomorrow today, then my future is my past. So
you said so many things that are going to be like my taglines for 2023. They're just like these. Yeah, like you could make posters of like the things you've said. But my favorite, like I love the fact that 2023 is going to be the hangover year. It makes me feel a little. But we definitely need that kind of optimism today, because it's so easy to get bogged down by what's happening. Like when I was putting down the list of things that happened, and I was like, oh, like where are we going from here? But you're right, there's like so much optimism. Like throughout your conversation, the threads, people are speaking up more, right? Like there are increased protests. So we're no longer just sitting quiet and saying, okay, this is happening, there's nothing we can do about it. We are taking life into our control. Organizations are stepping up by letting their employees advocate for what they believe is right. There are policies coming around, and organizations, most, you know, there are organizations who are leading and organizations who are lagging, which is always the case, but there are a lot of changes that are happening to, like you said, women's rights, getting like this huge emphasis on diversity, but diversity of all kinds. We are redefining how we used to traditionally think of diversity. We are creating a pipeline of future skills, because we've also realized that the population, which is, well, we've hit 8 billion. We definitely need to figure out a different way of doing things. And then not having a larger mass retire than the larger mass which is coming. I was actually reading a very interesting piece on the skills that the future generation is gravitating towards. So they asked, I think, a lot of 15-year-olds in select countries on what job or profession they would like to get into the future. And you would see like the West, the most popular profession was an Instagram influencer. And the number of people who wanted to be an astronaut and an engineer was much lower. And when you looked to the East, you would see that a lot of what we used to traditionally consider as professional skills, like IT, medicine, being an astronaut, that is still where their passion lies. So it's a beautiful balance, but it's just like so geographically stark. Do you have any, like, if you had to rewind and if you were the 15-year-old answering, what would your profession pick be?
I would, my professional pick would be the world of artificial intelligence and machine learning.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've spoken about a lot of trends of 2022 and what's happening. I was expecting this to be a heavy conversation, but you've done this amazingly brilliant work of, you know, keeping us optimistic, having a big smile on my face and on yours, and hopefully of our listeners. Now, to say that 2022 has been an eventful year is an understatement. I would love a quiet 2023, but you've given us all the terms we need to define 2023. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I have two last questions for you before I let you go. So first, I asked Abhijit Bhadhuri the same question when he was on our Christmas special episode, but then if Santa existed and could bring you anything that you wished for, what would your pick be?
The gift of youth, that I could discover the child in me all over.
But you just did, like you did it when you were
over. But I discovered this. I just did that by accident. But I like to have it in me all the time. So I think that is what I would ask of Santa. That would be fantastic.
Oh, wouldn't everyone love that? But if you were to get a little more materialistic, is there like a pair of socks or something that you would prefer?
Okay. Then I would love for Santa to bring a nice little puppy home for the pet dog that I have to play with.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because this guy, his name is Bolt, he's all by himself. And I think as he's growing a little older, he needs company. So I think I need to get another puppy.
Amazing. I hope Santa's listening. I hope there's another puppy in store for you. And then my last question for you, and this one's personally very important for me. Now, NHRDN is the sponsor of this very pod. So thank you so much for helping us stay alive for a year and a half. But my question, and this is hopefully a wish we can bring to life, but where would you like to see this pod go in 2023?
HR Bandit, I think, is a very, very important part of people's lives going forward. That's what I wish for in the year 2023. And I just wish for everybody to spend a little bit of time just listening. The length, the breadth, the depth of what you do, Ankita, as the anchor for HR Bandit is so very, very important. Bringing in different perspectives, people have to listen. And I wish just this one thing, that people had a lot more ears than eyes. So that's my wish for you and for HR Bandit.
Thank you. Thank you. You've made my day, my month, my year. Like I'm ready to take on 2023. It has been amazing to have you on the show. And with this, I'm going to get us out of here. Bandits, here's wishing you a lovely rest of 2022. I hope you're taking a break. It's well deserved. Get a chance to rest, recharge, and we will see you in this new year. On behalf of NHRDN, Nathan, and I, we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.